Open your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. We're continuing the study series in the New Testament books, particularly the epistles of Paul. And last Lord's Day, we had a look at 1 Timothy, and today we're looking at 2 Timothy. If you'll take your summer Bible study guide, I want to call your attention to the theme for 2 Timothy as you anticipate reading, hopefully, the book of 2 Timothy this week. This letter is Paul's deathbed communication to his young friend. Paul tells Timothy to develop his personal relationship with Christ, serve God faithfully, and to use the gifts God has given Timothy. The book's primary theme, like 1 Timothy, is encouragement. Paul and Timothy had a tight relationship with each other. 1 Timothy was written some 3 years before 2 Timothy. Paul is now in prison in Rome, and he is about to be martyred. Some of us have been with people, sometimes loved ones and friends, who are facing death and who on their deathbed have some important communication to relay. And in this case, Paul is, as it were, on his deathbed. And so the book of 2 Timothy is just full of all kinds of helpful encouragements for this young pastor of a troubled church at Ephesus when the young pastor wanted to leave. You remember we said that Timothy probably had an anxiety disorder. He was fearful, and he also had stomach problems, probably a result of his high anxiety, and Paul is writing to encourage Timothy. Look now at verse 1 of chapter 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, that the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we're faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Paul says in verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because of Timothy's desire to leave and the obvious trouble that he faced, Timothy, as well as we, face a long journey in the same direction. The modern novelist Gore Vidal described our culture as a passion for the immediate and the casual. Drop a pill in the water, stir, you drink it, eureka, you feel better. In the Christian life, we often perceive our cures as being immediate, so that we are unprepared for a long obedience in the same direction. Our culture has been called the information society. We started out as the agricultural society, and then we moved to the industrial, and then to the technological, and then to what is now the information society, so that by the year 1957, there were more white-collar workers in our culture than there are blue-collar workers. Recently, in the building where the counseling center is housed across the street, we had a power outage. The result was that by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, most of the parking lot was empty. People could not work. How often have you called some company to get some information and been told, "I'm sorry, the computer is down"? So that our penchant for the immediate and accessibility and quickness and fastness has slopped over into our Christian lives, so that we need to focus on what Paul tells to young Timothy, and that is, what we're on, men and women, is a long journey in the same direction. Paul says three things to help young pastor Timothy. The first is to be strong, and secondly, to endure hardship, and thirdly, to remember Jesus Christ. Look at verse 1. He says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." I don't know how the translators came up, the English translators, with the phrase, "be strong." Because in the original language, that phrase, "be strong," is actually a durative passive. And what that means is it would have to be translated, "being strengthened in His grace." You see, to tell someone to be strong and to tell them, on the other hand, to be strengthened in grace are two different attitudes completely. What this assumes, that is Paul's command, is that we do not strengthen ourselves. It is a passive. It is something that is done for us and to us. And it is something that assumes that we are weak. Now, I suspect some of us lied this morning when we came to church and we saw our friends. They said to us, "How are you?" And we said, "Fine." I think that there is another law in the Christian community, or another lie in the Christian community, and it is the lie that we are to be strong. Ask the Apostle Peter if the idea of his being strong kept him from denying Jesus Christ, when in fact he said, "Everyone can forsake you, Lord, but not me." And so our strength comes not from our mere being strong, but rather from being strengthened. This reminds us also that this, in some ways, to be strengthened by the grace of Christ is a paradox. A paradox in the sense that if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'll read it, you don't need to go to it. It says in verse 3, "I," that is Paul is speaking, "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling." This is the great, outstanding model of the Christian faith. It is the Apostle Paul, and he says, "I was afraid when I was there." But then he says, if you look at his second book to Corinthians, in Corinthians chapter 12, he says in verse 9, "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" So you see, it isn't that we ourselves are commanded merely to be strong, but we are commanded to be strong in the grace. And being strong in the grace means that it is something that is done for us and to us by the power of Christ in our lives. That is being strengthened. How do we do that? Well, it means it's a day-by-day process and not something that is an immediate cure. I think that we've fallen into the trap of thinking that we want immediate cures and we think we deserve it as Christians sometimes, but that's not the ordinary way that Christ heals us. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is Luke chapter 11, verse 26, where the Lord Jesus is debating with the Pharisees. And then Jesus says, "And if I with the finger of God cast out demons, then you know that the kingdom of God has come upon you." And I think that we expect God to somehow work some supernatural magic to make us feel better, to get us out, to provide for us in ways that are extraordinary, when in fact that is not God's ordinary means. Rather, it's a day-by-day process. It's like walking up Avalanche Trail in Glacier National Park in Montana. It's a 2-mile hike and it's almost straight up. And if a person doesn't stop long enough to be strengthened, then he's probably going to quit. So that it's necessary for us to stop and to be strengthened, which is something that is done for us in moments when we pause. Paul says then to be strengthened in the grace of Jesus Christ. And then secondly, looking back at 2 Timothy verse 3, he says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Now again, literally, the endure hardship can be translated, take your share of suffering. Now, we don't want to be too somber about the Christian life, because it is joy and it is fullness and contentment and experiencing the love of God. The reality is often that journey is a matter of our taking our share of suffering and hardship. I don't know why. Sometimes it's just that our number comes up. I don't understand how God works. You flip a coin, it's heads, Langston, it's your turn. And sometimes we experience difficulties and hardships in the Christian life, and Paul gives three metaphors to remind and to encourage us for the necessity of endurance and constancy. And the first metaphor is that one in verse 3 and 4, where he says, "You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who has enlisted him to be a soldier." What that means, and the word entangle comes from, is a Roman soldier who would have his sword in his hilt at his side, but if he had a cloak on and tried to draw his sword, and the sword could potentially become ensnared in his cloak. And what Paul is saying is to make sure that you don't become entangled. And I was particularly interested in the phrase that Donna sang in the song "So Far, So Good." The phrase, that one of the lines was, "Take over the clutter in my life." We have a lot of clutter And what Paul is warning against, that we would not become distracted so that we would be able to gain freedom in order to fight the battles. One of my favorite movies in the past 10 years, along with The Patriot, is Braveheart. Now, I know it's very, very violent. Now, there is a way to look at violence and to gain some culture. You could watch Henry V, which is Shakespeare. I warn you, it's violent as well, but it is a way to gain some culture at the same time. Braveheart, on the other hand, I love that scene where Mel Gibson rides out and the Scottish clans are about to break up. And they're beginning to wander, and Mel Gibson, William Wallace, rides on his horse with his face painted blue in front of the troops, and he gives them this inspiring speech, and then he says, "Are you ready for war?" Yeah. I think sometimes in the Christian life is not so much a stroll through the botanical gardens. And we need to ask ourselves, are you ready for a war? A soldier. And then he uses the metaphor of the athlete in verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. I think the focus for the metaphor for encouraging Timothy and us is disciplined training. Disciplined training. The emphasis is on individual competition. Yes, when our Olympic athletes train for the Olympics and we see them march out in the first grand program and in the last, we see them as a team and here are our athletes, but they had to qualify individually for the most part. It reminds me of Hebrews 12, "Seeing therefore we have such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." It is something that you and I have to do, Christian. And it's something that we bear our own responsibility for, that we must compete alone in a sense. Although we have the encouragement of the great cloud of witnesses, who can see them? Maybe they're here. Maybe they're here in this room now. You can do it, George. You can do it, Mary. Keep running. Keep your goal in mind. I remember at a track meet down in Auburn several years ago, I watched some SEC competitors, and there was one competitor from the University of Alabama who reminded me of a machine. And it was a long distance race, and he started running. This is not an Alabama-Auburn competitive contrast, by the way. He was running like a machine. Others were beginning to faint and fall off. But this person never broke stride, and even when it was time for him to kick in at the end, he didn't do it. He just stayed steady the whole time he won. Now, it takes remarkable disciplined training to be able to keep the pace for a long time. I was talking with, I told Jay that I was going to quote him, Jay Pounds. There you are. We were talking before the service, and for some reason it turned to the market, not surprising, talking to Jay. But I don't know a lot about the market, but I do know a concept called dollar cost averages. Dollar cost averages is where you continue to invest even when the market is troubled or down, because in the long term, the returns are going to be there, theoretically. In the same way, we in the Christian life, whatever trial or discomfort we face or distraction we face, we continue to invest in this discipline training. I mean practically the discipline of a quiet time. The discipline of a quiet time where we expose ourselves to being strengthened by the Word of God. The discipline of church. The discipline of giving. The discipline of forgiving someone and becoming more and more like Jesus Christ Himself. Those are disciplines that we continue to practice. And then the metaphor of the farmer in verse 6, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. And here the emphasis is on perseverance. The word persevero comes from a Latin phrase, to suffer through, that sometimes the Christian life can be difficult. Not always, but can be difficult. Like when I choose not to retaliate to somebody when I feel I have a right to, when they have done me a disservice, and I can retaliate, but I choose not to. It is a stretch for me. Like when I choose and I continue to believe and embrace the promises of God, sometimes as difficult as that may be, when I believe, when I am in pain, but that is when our stretching comes. It is like the Osgood Slater disease. You know, growing pains. I come from a home where I can recall actually only two tender moments in relationship with my dad. And one of them was one night when my leg was intense pain. And I was crying out, obviously, for mother. And then he walked in. Do you know what I felt? Fear. I was on the second bunk up above my brother. My dad comes over to my bunk and he massages my leg until the pain is gone. Sometimes we will experience growing pains in the Christian life, but God our Father, if we will allow ourselves to be strengthened, He will comfort you. The farmer image is an important one because we are also able to eat the crops. And then finally, Paul says, remember Jesus Christ. So that we are to be strengthened in the grace. We are to endure hardship when it's our turn, when our number is up, to endure and to continue on. And secondly, remember Jesus Christ. What do we remember about Him? We remember that He, like the Apostle Paul says in this passage, endured hardship. Do you know, as I reread 2 Timothy yesterday afternoon, that I counted the number of times endure occurs, and it occurs at least six. There may be more, but I counted six times of the phrase endure. Endure hardship. Pass through this. It is a long journey, but you will get there because I did not finish that quote from Hebrews 12 about the great cloud of witnesses and looking unto Jesus, because it also says, looking unto Jesus, who for the joy set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's why we remember. We remember Jesus Christ, our elder brother, who has passed this way. And His suffering may have seemed like an eternity, and He suffered an eternity, an eternal death. But whenever you're in pain, it always feels like forever. Have you been sick? Yes, you've been sick and you've had the flu. When we were in Scotland as theological students, I remember both Emily and I were sick in bed. There was no one to help our oldest daughter, 6 years old, go down to the kitchen, fix us something to eat. You know what she fixed us? Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Finally, the doctor comes, and they do that in Great Britain, and he sat at the, I remember this as if it were yesterday. He sat at the edge of the bed. He knew that I was a theological student, and he started talking to me about theology. I didn't care. I just want something to fix me because the pain that I'm in feels like it will never stop. Plus, I thought that I was going to die and that I was going to die outside Dixie, which was a particular pain. That, Paul says, he was raised from the dead, and this gives us hope. He was raised from the dead so that whatever you're called to go through and to endure, you can do it. The Christian life is often, we're often tempted to throw in the towel. We'll experience fear and disappointment and discouragement and anxiety disorders and depression and marital conflicts and trouble with our children and every other emotion that we can ever imagine. We're not immune and we will experience it, but it's like a person who is addicted to a drug or to alcohol. They have to keep working their program because they're in recovery. And there's a sense in which you and I, men and women, everyone here in this room, you are in recovery. And we keep working the program until the final cure. Being strengthened in grace, enduring hardship, and remembering Christ. Some Scottish climbers were climbing Mount Everest. And they lost their lives in the climb. But the news report that was announced had this line in it. It said, when last seen, they were still climbing. What more could you say? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray indeed that we would be strengthened in the grace of Jesus Christ, that we would be enabled to endure hardship as a soldier, an athlete, a farmer, persevering, that we would remember Jesus Christ who also endured and yet now experience the fullness of joy, that we ourselves may still be climbing when last seen. In Jesus' name, amen.